Okay, we are going to go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 6, starting from verse 1.
There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease.
Now Solomon starts like there is an evil which I have seen under the sun. And this is common things he has seen. And he is saying, I have seen there is a person, God gave him everything. He gave him riches, he gave him money, he gave him power, he gave him everything. There was nothing lacking that he needed. And this is all God given to him. And then he says, all of a sudden, God had taken it away, everything, and then even the stranger eateth his things, what he had. Now somebody would say, how come this happens? How this rich man, God gave him everything, and all of a sudden vanished away? It doesn't happen like that, but we have examples. We have Job. Job was a rich man. He had everything. But all of a sudden, without a notice, he lost everything. And so, when you read in Job chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, what Job saying?
And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
He says, God gave it to me, and God took it away. So he's happy. He's saying, thank God, whatever God gave it to me, and God took it away. So he was trusting in God that God has power to give and take it away. But see what his wife saying. Read the chapter 2, verse 9 and 10.
Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips?
Now even the Job said to his wife, you are talking like a wicked woman or worldly person or do not know God or unsaved person. He says God gives good and God gives evil. God doesn't do any evil. Now we know that this story that devil asked the permission and God gave the permission. And so the point I'm making here, the person can have riches, have everything, and in 1 second it can go away. Let's we have another example. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 12, and start reading from 16 to 21.
And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God.
This man was a rich man, got a lot of goods. He said, I'm going to break down the old barnyards. I'll make a more place and keep everything and sit down there and say, hey, soul, now look, for many years of goods I have peace and enjoy all of these things. What God says, thou fool, this night, tonight, you're going to die. What's going to happen? All these things. From that we know he doesn't have children. He doesn't have any brothers or sisters. He said, who is going to take all of these things? So what the word of God says, strangers can take it away. In this world we did not bring anything. Out of this world we cannot take anything. Only God is in control. If you live for God, God will bless you. But if you don't live for God, and gather everything, even though God has given you everything, you should be thankful. You should be grateful. You should be thanking God, Now this rich man got so much, he has to break down this old barns and storing places and store everything. But he was not saying, thank you, Lord, what you have given to me. I want to give my tithes and my offerings and everything what you have given to me, and I'm going to help some poor people too. He would have lived a little longer. But he says, my soul, just me, me, me. God says, you are a fool. The word of God says, whoever doesn't believe in God, that person is a fool. So here the word of God is saying, this man, a rich man, God gave him everything. He did not have anything wanting. Every desire of his heart and everything he got, God given. Then he said, yet, and the stranger was able to take his wealth. We have examples in the Bible about the kings and kingdoms. David was a rich king. Solomon was the richest king. They gathered everything. But when the Solomon is finished his kingdom, God gave his 10 parts of his kingdom to the servant, and only 2 parts to his son. And his son lost everything. So here the word of God is saying, God gives, God taketh away. And the stranger, he can give it to you, and stranger, he gave it to the Babylonian kings and Egyptian kings, give it away. So what God is teaching us, whatever God has given to us, be thankful, be grateful. Otherwise, money has what? Wings. They will fly away. Okay, verse 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 3.
If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he.
Here the Solomon saying, there is a one man. He's just guessing, or he saw this, we don't know. He says there is a one man, have 100 children. Now if you have 100 children, and if you are a rich man, it'll be no problem. And when you are old and you are dying and they don't care, you are in a jungle or you are on the farm or you are sick or you are dead, the animal ate you, didn't get a burial. And if that's the kind of life somebody lived, Solomon says it's very bad. The one lady got pregnant and she got a miscarriage, or the untimely child came into this world and died in the womb, is better. He didn't know anything about this man and the burial, but we will be looking later on. So he said this man didn't have the burial. At least that child miscarriage, he will get the burial. He will be better than the other guy. Let's read the verse 4.
For he cometh in with vanity and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness.
Now he's talking about this child. The child came, and nobody knew the child's name, the male or female, because certain times you don't even know the child is male or female because the miscarriage time. And he says he came, and he departed in darkness, and he was covered in the darkness. That means didn't have name, nothing. Verse 5.
Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other.
Then he says the same child came into this world, did not see sun, did not have any life, did not enjoy anything. But he says this child, the dead prematurely, is better than the other guy who had 100 children. He didn't have any burial. That's the way he's comparing. Verse 6.
Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place.
Now again he's saying, now let me compare again, he says. The man had 100 children, lived long life, but let me put it this way, he lived a twice of the life. And he got, and then he dies, and nothing good happened to him. He died miserably, no funeral, no burial, no children to help him, hundreds of children there, but nobody cared. He says, don't you think this child died prematurely, this other guy died with 100 children, Do you think they are going to the same place? That means, what is use? Having 100 children, having lots of money, having no burial, and the child comes without life, not seeing sun and nothing. He says, they might be going in the same place. Who knows? He doesn't know what happens. Let's read in the Mark chapter 10, verse 13 and 14, what Jesus says.
And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God.
See, even the child, dead in the womb, or born into this world, and the child has much more chances to go to heaven than any fool or any man lived in the world without God. Jesus is saying these children will go to heaven. So if some lady had an abortion and then she repented later on, tell her your child is in a better place. But if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you will see your child. One day it happened, one lady, she sacrificed her child. Somebody told her, give it to the Ganges River and God will bless you. And as soon as she threw the child in the Ganges River and the child drowned, and she started crying and weeping, why did I do this? And then one Christian person came and said to her, why are you crying? She said, I threw my child and my child is dead. Do you want to see this child again? She said, yes. So only you can see when you get saved, born again, because your child is in heaven right now. And if you give your life to Jesus Christ, you will see your child again. That lady gave her life to Jesus Christ. So the point I'm making, we have hope. One day we are going to see the loved ones. You remember David, when his child was very sick and he was fasting, he was crying and weeping and everything. And then when his child was dead, somebody told him, they whispered, child is dead. And he came to know, and he got up, took a shower, combed his hair and everything, and he said, give me something to eat. They said, why are you doing this? Let's read that in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 21 to 23.
Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done, thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive? But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me.
See, this is what the Bible teaches. Our loved ones, they are in heaven. When they die, especially children, they go to direct to heaven. But Solomon didn't know. Solomon says, I don't know this man will go to the same place, that premature child will go to the same place. This means, he says, vanity, he doesn't know. We already learned last time, if you remember, there was a Lazarus and rich man, that is in Luke chapter 16. The Lazarus died, the angel took him in the presence of the God, in the bosom of the Abraham, and the rich man died and he went direct to hell. So you see two different places. And when he went to hell, he's asking water, give me a little bit, dip your pinky and put it on my tongue. So the point I'm making, there are two different places. People do not know. People are thinking, we are all going to go to the same place. We are not going to go to the same place. Righteous man will go to one place, the wicked will go to another place. Because here, Solomon is confused. And if somebody reads this thing, they get confused too. Because they say Solomon was the very wisest person. And if he doesn't know, nobody will know. But God has revealed us, righteous man and the wicked people do not go to the same place. And the children and the sinners, they don't go to the same place. Okay, let's go back to the Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 7.
All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled.
Now again he's saying, the man laboreth means works hard. Working hard for what? For his mouth. And the mouth is not satisfied. Or his appetite is not satisfied. Actually, man is not working for his mouth. Do you know the man is working for his belly? There are people working for their stomach. If there is no stomach, and if there is no appetite, people will not be fighting for food. He says about the mouth. Now some people have taste buds to eat and eat and eat. Do you know when you get older, your taste buds are getting younger and you want to eat more, you want to eat different kinds of food. The older people, they have more desire, but the stomach says no. Mouth says yes, but the stomach says no. So we have a problem. But here the word of God is saying, because the unsaved people, they like to eat. I have heard, I didn't see it, but I have heard there are some young people, they go eat, 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 eat. And then they go to the bathroom and they vomit, 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 and they go back again and eat. So why these people are doing it? Because they did not finish eating. They want to eat more. And some people going to one town, to another town, to another town, looking for the new cuisines, new food. Because tongue has some kind of desire to eat. And sometimes your mouth somehow problem, you cannot eat, you cannot chew, you cannot swallow. Then what? They make a hole in your stomach and they feed you. And if you don't eat, you die. So the people are living for food. But the righteous people, they don't live for food. Go to the Psalm 37, verses 30 and 31.
The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgments.
He's not looking for food, but he's looking for saving somebody or talking about God, and his tongue gives the right judgment. Means the righteous man's mouth is not looking for food alone. You know what Jesus Christ says? Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. The bread you eat and eat and eat and you die and go to hell. But if you feed on the word of God, you will live for eternity. So we should be not thinking about eating, eating, and eating. The point I'm making, people do not know that food is not just for eating. When we eat food, we glorify God. Take the food, pray over it, you eat it, and eat the portion what is good for you. Otherwise, you will be ballooned and you will be dying like a fool. The righteous people, their mouth is not thinking about food. I'm not bragging about myself, but when I'm studying the word or reading the word or editing the things, and time goes 4, 5, 6 hours, my wife will come, when are you going to eat? When are you going to eat? When are you going to eat? I said, I'm going to finish this and then I'll eat. Sometimes I eat the breakfast and my lunch I eat in the night. So the point I'm making, this is not a healthy thing I'm talking to you, but God keeps me healthy because I'm doing for the glory of God. So here the Jesus Christ is saying, man shall not live by bread alone. You have to read the word of God, study the word of God, live for God, and then you'll be all right. Otherwise, like this man, he works, 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 and he eats, and his mouth is not satisfied, and his stomach is not full. And he is always craving for the food. And the people, even though they are deathbed, they want something to eat or something to drink. They are never satisfied if they are not born again children of God. Okay, let's go back to the Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 8.
For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living?
Now he has a question. He says, what is the difference between fool and wise. He's a very wise man. He knows God has given us wisdom to do the right thing. The word of God says, the wise man, what he does, he knows about God, he preaches the word of God, he lives for God, and the wise people glorify God and live for God. The fool says there is no God. The fool, they do not worry about anything. They worry about eating and living in this world, and they don't have anything to do about God. And we learned last time, if you remember, book of Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, please read. It says the wise people teach somebody, preach somebody, save their life, and they shine for the glory of God.
And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever.
See, they not only get saved, they want other people to get saved and other people to come to the kingdom of God, and they will be shining like a star. Once you are born again, child of God, you are not going to keep quiet. You will keep on telling somebody about Jesus Christ. When you're standing on the street, or somebody on the bus stop, somebody in the post office or shopping or here or there, you look at them. Look at their faces. Somebody's depressed. Somebody's having some problem. And you just say, hi, how are you, sir? How are you, ma'am? And talk to them and tell them your story, what God has done for you. You do not need a degree to preach the word of God. It comes from your experience. What Jesus Christ has done for you, go and tell them. And once you tell them your story, they want to know more about Jesus. Then tell them to come to church, pray for them, and lead them to Christ. Anytime you ask my wife or me, my wife also will say, we talk about to somebody and slowly, slowly, slowly bring them to God. Any subject you take, you bring them to God and talk about God. That's our life. That's what the wise people do. They look for the chance. They look for the people who wants to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ, lead them to Christ, and tell them about what God has done for you. So this is what the wise people do, and the fool do not want to hear anything about God. Okay, let's go to the Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 9.
Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit.
Did you understand what he's trying to say? He says, better is what you see and not seen. Now, for example, you go for shopping and you see whatever, the clothes or the car or whatever, and somebody showing you the beautiful car and explaining this, and your mind is wandering. He said, don't you like this car? No, no, not this. You have better, you have better. And the person is saying, what you see, what you get. But the person is saying, I am thinking, dreaming about the car which is not even invented. So is it better to wander your mind and the car is not invented, the plane is not invented, and you want that one? Or what you see right now, you get that one. So he is saying it is better to get what you have. But if you start wandering your mind, which is not there, then it is vanity. But the Bible says differently. Bible says what you see, what you get, but that's what not we are looking for. We don't walk by what? We don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. He's saying, you see something, why don't you grab it? Why don't you get it? Why are you dreaming with things you didn't even see it? But Jesus Christ taught us differently. There is a heaven. There is a God. There are angels. The heaven is a beautiful place, and we are going to go there. And somebody said, did you see heaven? How the heaven looked like? And then there are some people today, they will tell you, oh, I died and I saw heaven. And they will describe the heaven they saw. Within 30 seconds or within even 30 minutes, you cannot see the whole heaven. You are living in America. I didn't see the America. 50 states, I didn't see it yet. Then I didn't see the whole world. How could you see the heaven within 30 minutes? How can you tell somebody I saw heaven within 30 seconds or 35 seconds? They are telling their dream. They are telling them what they were wishing and what they learned in the Bible and things like that. Don't think that everything they saw is correct. This is like in a story you might have seen. The blind people went to see the elephant, and somebody saw the tusk. He said, I know elephant has two tusks. And somebody saw the tail, and somebody saw the leg, and somebody saw the ear, and everybody started explaining, this is what the elephant looked like. So they are right, but they don't know whole story. The same way people go to heaven and come back and they start describing one part of heaven. If you read book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, please read.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Now he says, the faith is. What do you mean? Faith is means faith is alive. A dead faith will not do anything. Faith for tomorrow will not do anything. Faith is now. And the faith is what? He says faith is not, but the faith is the thing, the substance of things you hoped for. Now, how it works, there are things, substance, there are things in heaven. There are actually things. The God is real. The angels are real. The heaven is real. There are substance. There are things are there. And you're hoping for those things. But those things are not imaginary things. What he's saying, the evidence of things not seen. The things are there, there is evidence. But you did not see those things. That doesn't mean those things are not there. If you read the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He says there are witnesses. All around us, they have seen the things, they have experienced the things, they went ahead of us, and Jesus Christ is our more example. Please read.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Now here is saying that things are in heaven, there's an evidence. Jesus Christ went to heaven, he is sitting at heaven. The all other people, apostles, and they are also there and they are witnessing. So our life is not like we are looking at something which is not there. Right now, you don't see with your own eyes, but there is evidence that things are there. For example, if somebody describing you and you trust that person, then that's called faith. For example, if I said to my children, such and such a thing, I'll give it to you, and they didn't see it, but they will believe because my father, what he said, he does. Then that's called faith. So here is saying, Solomon is saying, whatever you see with your eyes, that is better. Whatever you didn't see with your eyes, that's not good because that's like an imaginary thing. We are not imagining things. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, as I said, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Christian life is the journey of faith. If you don't have faith in God, then the Christianity is nothing. So God has given us faith, and you have to use faith now. Faith is for today. Now somebody prays for you and say, I'm going to pray for you, and God is going to heal you. And somebody prayed, and nothing happened. Because you said, well, you prayed for me. I know I'll be better maybe next year, maybe 5 years from now. you will never get better. So what happens when somebody prayed for you, you said, I receive it, and start acting upon it. If you are not able to walk, start walking. Whatever you are not able to do, you do it, and it will work. So faith works in action. Faith is now, faith is. That's just like God says to Moses, I am that I am. That means I am ever present. Whatever you want, I am. I can help you right now. That's our God is, and that's the faith is. So Solomon did not have the faith life. Okay, let's go back to the Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 10.
That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he.
Now, this is a little bit difficult to understand, but it says, whatever is named, already named. Now, do you know who named everything? The Adam. Those things are there, and sometimes people can change it, and people can mix it and change everything. But he says, this already, what was named is already there, and that's all there. And then he said, and it is known that it is a man. Even the man named everything. Some of the animals he named, they were vicious and very bad animals. But as long as Adam was with God and didn't commit sin, so those animals were not able to eat him or destroy him. So they were tamed. As soon as Adam committed sin, those animals became his enemy. Do you know when God was talking to Job, he started telling about the vicious animal? Do you know those animals? Can you tame those animals? So he was saying there are some animals, even though you named it, but now they are vicious and they are greater. And so he says, this man, even though he named everything, he's just the dust. God allowed him to name it. Without God's grace, he cannot do anything. God says, okay, Adam, name them. He said, okay, he named them. He had the wisdom of God. He has the power of God. He had everything. He had the glory of God. He was able to do it. But if you lose the power of God and lose the grace of God, and then you just the dust. The man is just the dust. If the man is not born again, man is not saved, the man doesn't have any power, he's just the dust. That's what he is trying to say. And then he says, he cannot fight with a mightier than he. Who is mightier than man? God. Now people sometimes start to fight with God. They don't know who God is. But the God is greater than anybody, and you cannot fight God. God is greatest. God has given us everything. But sometimes you forget what God has given to us and you fight with God, but you cannot win. Verse 11, please read.
Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better?
Now here, when you compare the 10th verse and 11th verse, it says like, who is greater than man is God. But sometimes there are greater people than you too. For example, if you are a boxer and you said, I'm the champion of the world, watch out, there is somebody greater than you. And so there is not a single person can brag about him that I am the greatest. There is somebody will always be greater than you. So we are just the human beings. We have to humble ourselves and we have to say, only by the grace of God, who I am or what I am. Without God's grace, you have no power, you have nothing. I have seen the people came and left. The point I'm making, nobody greater than God, and somebody thinks I'm a greater, they will be greater man than him. Because you do not trust God, you will have problem, but if you trust God, God will make you great. But if you start thinking, I'm the greatest, watch out, there is somebody greater than you. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 12.
For who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun?
Now he's again is questioning. He says, who knows what is good for man in this life? Do you know there are people living in this world without any aim? You ask somebody on the street and say, hi sir, can I talk to you? What are you living for? Why you are in this world? Different people will give different answers, but only godly people will say, I'm living for God. I want to save people. I want to go to heaven. World, this is the place God has kept us to prepare ourselves. Without coming into this world, you cannot go to heaven. Sometimes this Solomon said, "Is the person is better who never was born." If the person was never born, he will never will be find God, and he will never come to the knowledge of God, and nothing, just like a vanity, there was nothing. But God put us here with a purpose. Everyone in this world living, they have purpose, and only purpose is find God. Find your destiny. Find where you're going. Find you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. There's only two places. So we have to tell the people we are not living in fantasy world. Just came and left, and like he says, you know, the man is like a shadow. And man can, you know, vanish away anytime. So man's life is worthless. What man is doing in this world? Why the man is living in this world, he doesn't know. But we know God put us here to find God. If we are not in this world, then we don't know what to do. And the man living in this world, he has time. God has given us a lot of time. When you go and talk to somebody, oh, not now. I don't want to know anything about God until I get married, have a couple of children, have a good job. And before I die, maybe 95 years old or so, then I will have time for God when I retire. Tell that man, it will be too late. Just like this fool, you remember what he said? So many things I have prepared for you, and you can live for many years. God said, thou fool, tonight you're going to die. What's going to happen to the whole thing you prepared for yourself? That's what you have to tell people. Give an example. You don't know your life. You don't know how long you're going to live. You are dreaming for 100 years or 120 years. I saw the other day one literature, 200 years. That means you can live 200 years. Eat these things, what we tell you to eat, and you can live 200 years. People want to live 200 years. He already said, if the man had 100 children and he lived many times, double the life he lived, and he lived like a fool and died like a fool, what is the benefit? Now, Hindu people will be telling you, oh, in this world you didn't do anything properly good, but there is a chance in another life. You will be in another life somebody. I said, sir, did you know what you were in a past life? No. Somebody will say, they will tell you, oh, you were this and this person. You have that personality. Maybe you were in a past life, you were this person. So they are just making it up. They don't know. But people are living a false hope. Tomorrow I'll be somebody. If I die now, I'll be somebody tomorrow. What the Bible says, if you live a filthy life, and not knowing God, the Bible says there is a time appointed. Once to die, after that judgment, hell or heaven. So are you prepared? The people thinking, well, I don't have to know anything about this now because I'm so busy. I have so many things to do. Then you tell them, go and read the Ecclesiastes. You made so much money. you lived a long life and you die and you don't have a burial, you don't know after you die what happens, what is your life? Solomon is trying to tell people, in this world, we did not bring anything. Our life is a shadow. What is going to happen after we die? He didn't know any clue of it. Why? Because Jesus Christ didn't come that time. Jesus Christ came. He took our sins. He died on the cross of Calvary. Now if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to go to hell. You'll go to heaven. So we are more blessed people today than Solomon. We have hope that today, if you die, we'll go to heaven. These are the message we have to tell other people. You are living in a dream world. What will happen after you die? You might be princess or you might be king or this and that. What you're doing today, that's going to decide for tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Let's read the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2.
For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
What the word of God is saying, today is the day of salvation. If you receive Jesus Christ today, it's better for you, because tomorrow will be always tomorrow. So this is the time for mankind to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Sometimes you tell the people, they said, not now, tomorrow. Tell them, tomorrow is not for you. Tomorrow you might die. Tomorrow you might be having lots of problems. Now is able to see, hear, and understand. If sickness comes, a disease comes, the heart attack, or the disaster comes, or the accident happens without knowing, what will happen? Today is the time to listen about God. Today is the time to make a decision what to do, what not to do. Read the Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. The God gave chance to Old Testament people to repent and to find the way of God. They didn't. Go ahead.
Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years.
See, here it is saying, I gave the people 40 years to repent and turn to God. They did not do it. And if you start doing the same way, you will have problem. Keep on reading.
Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God.
See, unbelieving, evil heart, will depart from God. God has given us grace in Jesus Christ. He said, I will take the stony heart, I will take all your sins, and I will make you pure and holy. Only God can do it. We have no power to change our life. God is the only one can do, and that's why God has sent his son. We have to take advantage. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God says today is the time. Once you know it, then you're going to tell somebody else. So the word of God is saying, in this world, God has kept us for what? To know God. This is the place we have to make a decision to meet God. Not tomorrow, not anywhere else. This is the time God has given to us. And then he says, if you don't, the time is set. Hebrews 9:27, what he says? It is appointed by God. Once to die, after that the judgment. So Jesus Christ is giving us chance. He says, O heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Solomon is saying, what we can do in this life? This life is passing away. It's like a shadow, and nobody knows what's going to happen. And so, what is our life? We are living for God. Even though we do not know tomorrow, but Our tomorrow is in God's hand. We are living by hope in Christ. And our hope is Jesus Christ. I'm not afraid if I die tonight, if I die today, what will happen? I'm not living a miserable life. I am living a life of faith, a life of Jesus. So I just say like Paul, St. Paul. Paul says, you know, it is better for me if I die today, I will go in the presence of God. That's better. But I am in little bit in puzzle. If I go, who will teach you? Who will tell you about God? So I'm going to live for you. So what is that? That means he is not selfish. So many people, Christians, are selfish. They want everything for themselves. Let's live for others. There are people dying without God and without Christ. It is our job to tell them about Jesus Christ. Somebody says, I don't want that person. Our neighbor is very bad. I don't want him to go to heaven. I want him to go to hell and so much pain. I'm not going to give him the pamphlet. What the Bible says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. God has given us grace. This is the time of grace. And the time is winding up. So we have to do what we can do. We should be thankful that God has given us eternal life. And we are not going to be selfish. We are going to telling others. That's why this radio program is all about. The television program is all about. The internet is all about. Printing page is all about. We have to pass it on to people. So many people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Shall we rise? Let's pray and say, Lord, I'm not going to live like a fool. I'm going to live like a child of God. And I want to tell somebody what Jesus Christ has done for me. I'm not living in a fantasy world. I'm living in the God's kingdom. I'm a child of God. And I want so many people to come and join with me in heaven. Heaven is not a lonely place. Heaven is not a little teeny-weeny place. Hey, if I tell somebody, I would not have room in there. No, we have lots of room. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us grace to know your will. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. We want to tell the whole world. We received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are living in peace, in joy, and heavenly blessings. Lord Jesus, give us grace to pass it on to somebody. There are people dying without God and without Christ, not knowing where they're going. Give us grace to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.